you haven't heard. Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Boy, was that something to behold.
And it sounds a little different.
Maximum!
That is a brutal ball.
Settle in, get yourself a brandy.
Triple M rocking Test Cricket.
Stark is in again. And he's bowled him! That's the wicket!
What are you doing here with that hammer?
Boom shagalaga.
Yeah, I know.
Live from the SCG, it's day one of the third test between Australia and Pakistan.
Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Yes, we do, and we're at the SCG. Can't wait for this one too. One of the most famous cricketing arenas in the world, and Pakistan and Australia go at it for the third time in this test series. Of course, Australia 2-0 up. And we cannot wait. The Pink Test, it's become such a big date in the Australian sporting calendar, and that's to come over the next 5 days. But we think the toss has been run and won. We might just pause for a sec while we get the result out of that, and I'm going to welcome the great Kerry O'Keefe to his home ground. Skull, welcome to you.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be here, mate, at the home of cricket in Australia. It was nice playing at that provincial ground last week, but
come on.
Here we are at the home of cricket, the SCG, the home of spin, and Australia playing two spinners.
All right, we're just hearing that Steve Smith has won the toss and, not surprisingly, elected to bat. The conditions look absolutely superb. We'll get down and find out what Nerolee Meadows and Brett Lee think of that in just a second. But the teams, we've got some changes, Skull.
We have Australia go in with two changes from the team that won in Melbourne. Hilton Cartwright makes his test debut at six in place of Nick Maddison, and Stephen O'Keefe returns in place of Jackson Bird.
Who's stiff, has to be said. I understand the two-spinner thing, but he performed well enough to stick around, Jackson Bird.
He did, and there's a green tinge to this pitch, Jim, and that's the thing. There are two types of SCG. There's the one in November, and there's the one sometimes in January.
Yep.
The one in November turns square. The one in January sometimes doesn't. Let's see what Tom Parker's rolled out over the next 5 days.
Hilton Cartwright, a batting all-rounder, it has to be said. First-class average of 43, 15 games, 200s. Bowling not quite as complimentary.
Looked at his action on the tapes last night. It's a little mixed. Technically, it's a 4 out of 10,
yep,
which suggests a first-class bowling average of 42.
Yeah.
Don't know what role he'll play. He may bowl between 5 and 10 overs. He may be called on to bowl a lot more. Spinners will normally, even if it's not turning, Australia have committed to a two-pronged spin attack. They're going to have to bowl a huge number of overs between them.
We'll bat 6, and we'll need to bat well in that position. What about Pakistan?
Well, Pakistan have made at least one change. Sami Aslam's out, and Shahjil Khan makes his test debut. He's been a prolific short-form century maker, and he's aggressive. They need that at the top of the list. Their one, Azhar Ali, has been the standout for them, but they've had Asad Shafiq at 6 has been good, and Safraz Ahmed at 7, but their 2, 3, 4, and 5 have been very modest. The captain in particular averages 5. Yunus Khan, he teased with 65 in Melbourne, but that apart, he hasn't really offered. And the number 3, Babar Azam, much touted, but hasn't delivered.
Yep.
Plus, their bowlers have to bowl straight, Jim. It's a heavily pronged, it was a heavily pronged pace attack. They didn't bowl straight enough in the first two tests. At the SCG, whether you're spin or pace, you've got to bowl at the sticks.
You'd have to think this surface is going to suit the Pakistan batting better than the previous two. Let's get down, speaking of the surface, to Nerolee Meadows. She's down with Brett Lee for California Sports Services. By the way, add the world's finest sports services to your school, club, or home court, California Sports Services. Welcome, Nez and Bing.
Thank you very much for having us. Great news, there's blue skies up ahead. So there could be a shower or two, but we're going to get plenty of cricket underway here at the SCG. A bit of a breeze as well. Brett, you've been out there to have a look at the pitch and have a chat to a few of the Aussie boys. What can you tell us?
Yeah, the home of cricket. The sun's shining. The pitch looks great. The one thing I have noticed there is about the wicket is it looks as though that if you run your spikes through it, and Mitchell Stark had a good chat to him just before they announced the toss then, that the line of the spike runs through, which tells me that there could be a bit of moisture in the wicket. So it could do a fair bit with that brand new ball.
Now, of course, we know that they're taking in two spinners. Stephen O'Keefe comes back into the team for his fourth test. It was unlucky for him this time last year. He took 3 wickets, but it was pretty much rained out. You know him well. What can you tell us?
Yeah, look, he's a terrific guy. He's a guy that's always up for a challenge. He's got a great record here at the SCG. He likes to spin the ball. The old saying goes, if the ball does seam, it also spins. So Nathan Lyon, before, was licking his lips saying that this could turn. He's looking forward to what he terms as ragging the ball. So he'll be after a bit of spin as well.
Another bloke that you know very well, the captain, Steve Smith. This is his 50th test. Of course, he made his debut in 2010 as a number 8 spinner. Can you believe now that we're heading into his 50th test and he's got a test average of over 60?
Well, talk about a purple patch. Look, Stephen Smith has always been known as a batsman. He played as a leg spinner when he first came in and batted 8 or 9. But look, he is a genuine batsman. He's probably the world's best batsman at the moment. Different technique, different temperament, but he loves batting here at the SCG wicket. He knows this ground so well. He's loved by the boys. There's just this really nice feeling there's at the moment in the Australian cricket team. You know, the guys are happy. They've got a great leader. They're starting to win a few matches. So all of a sudden, Australian cricket is back on top.
And he's doing pretty well as a captain, considering that Hilton Cartwright is the 9th debutant to come under Steve Smith's tenure. That's a lot of chop and changing to deal with.
It's a lot, and I think it's about 50 baggy greens been handed out since Brad Haddon, which he was a 400th. So 450th in Cartwright today. So look, there is a lot of change, but sometimes change is good. And we hope for, you know, for Cartwright's sake that he gets it and has a go. But Stephen Smith has backed his team. You know, Jackson Bird misses out. I thought he did a good job down at Melbourne and also up in Brisbane. But as you said, the two spinners, hopefully they can make it rag in you know, days 2 and 3.
Yeah, you certainly do have to feel for Jackson Bird, JB.
Thanks for that, Naz. Great job down there with Bing for California Sports Services. Just quickly, confirmation of the Pakistan team?
Yeah, two changes, Jim. Shahjil Khan in for Sami Aslam and Imran Khan at 66.
Yeah. He did that much good work when he was here last time.
It's a risk, but he looks good. No, it's the young Imran Khan in for Sahil Khan. So the 18-year-old spinner misses out, so Pakistan have definitely just gone with Yasir Shah as their main spin option. They believe that there might be a little more in it for the quick. So two differing opinions on how this might play. Australia very much down the road of a two-pronged spin attack. Pakistan are going to rely again on their seamers.
This is David Warner and Triple M Rocks Test Cricket.
Triple M Cricket.
Triple M rocking the SCG. This is the third of the three test series. Australia-Pakistan, of course. Australia come into this game 2-0 up. And the toss has been won by Australia. Steve Smith, no hesitation, you suspect, electing to bat. The conditions look fantastic here in Sydney. Kerry O'Keefe sitting up here with me in the commentary position. And it is our great pleasure, Skull, to welcome Radio Royalty. And, of course, Triple M Royalty. This is a man who, along with his great friend Roy, dominated the Triple M airwaves for over 20 years. I speak, of course, of the great H.G. Nelson. H.G., welcome.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the SCG. The spiritual home of spin, I think Skull called it correctly at the top of the dig. I believe it's the temple of tweak and twirl, and it's 5 days of pure wrist excitement. Yes, if you want it off the wrist, stay with Triple M over the next 5 days, because that's what you'll be getting. Two thoughts at the top of my comments today. Firstly, a one-day test. Is it possible, and how would it work? Sadly, I don't think it's going to happen today, because form would suggest that Australia is the dominant side. However, if somehow we could conspire to get Pakistan in and out before lunch, then Australia bats between lunch and tea, and hey, presto, it's on.
Yes, it is.
It's on. The other thing is we're seeing national anthems, obviously presentations and so on. Can I just see the idea of the national anthem being sung by a player from each side?
Yes.
And can I suggest the crowd is not what it should be for this morning's, you know, I don't hate bagging Sydney people. I hate bagging Australians, you know that. Yep. But there's about 25 people in here at the SCG at the moment. You can't see it on the radio. But if they knew that Dave Warner was coming out with a ukulele and going to summer his way through the national anthem, I think we'd have probably 250,000 outside.
Well, he used to be the lead singer of the Suburbs.
Well, that's
back
true.
In the day,
oh, wow. What a jump that is. And no one listening to this show would remember
would
that at all.
Any idea what we're talking about.
The other thing is, I don't ukulele. I don't want to make it too hard. Interpretive dance will do. Girt by Sea. I can see them rushing on with a bit of blue crepe paper. Suggest, you know, the Girt by Sea image. And so this would encourage more. You'd see a whole greater, different diversity of what a player can do rather than just bat and bowl.
Now, how have you seen the series, HG? I know you've been watching it very closely. You've spent some time overseas, but that didn't stop you.
I've loved it. I've loved it. Absolutely wonderful. I love Pakistan, everything that Pakistan brings. You know, they never play at home. You're not allowed to play at home. No one plays cricket in Pakistan anymore. Everybody has to go elsewhere to play the cricket. It's just fantastic. I know a lot of people bag them because they end up in trouble with the law and the authorities. I don't. I love what they bring to it, the whole subtlety of the thing. That Smith dismissal, obviously it wasn't a dismissal.
Yes.
I thought it was. Didn't worry me at all because I knew I was a winner.
The national anthem's not far away. The teams are going to wander out here Kerry O'Keefe and HG Nelson in the commentary position here at the SCG. You would love this ground, HG, too, I'd imagine.
I do, and echoing Skull's thoughts about the pitch, the corridor of uncertainty outside the off stump, I've put down at 7.54 centimetres here today. 7.5, it's the widest it's ever been. 7.54 centimetres. And I'd like to get thoughts, you know, from obviously the statisticians as we go,
yes,
whether that's going to shrink over the next 5 days.
We need to get to an M-Sport update because we've got the anthems next and then the start of play here at the SCG. Now, what we're going to be doing, Michael Slater's in charge of the Nine coverage. He's going to be chatting to Steve O'Keefe. We're going to cross to that shortly, but sitting here with Roy, sorry, with HG Nelson.
I can be Roy if you want me to be. Not a hard act.
No.
Now, speaking of the dead rubber, yes. Now I'm right in thinking the Pakistan's only wins in Australia have been on dead rubbers.
Probably are, right.
You are.
Well, you played many times against them, Skull. Would that be correct?
No, I think in their last, they've only won dead rubbers for the last 25 or 30 years.
All right, we might have Michael Slater now, courtesy of Channel 9.
He's mic'd up. G'day, Steve.
How are you, Slats?
Oh, I'm very well, mate, but more importantly, how are you feeling?
Yeah, mate, pretty nervous, but excited at the same time. It's another great opportunity to be out here on the home ground. I think the curator here and the ground staff have done a great job, mate. Looks like a pretty good wicket, so pretty excited.
And a lot of hard work for you, mate. I know you've made a few changes in your life recently and it's all paid off.
Yeah, look, it's 2016 was filled with its ups and downs, probably more downs than ups, but it's been a great learning experience, mate, and I've hopefully grown up a bit and learnt. So, you know, what a great way to start 2017 out here in the middle of the SCG, the ground that I love to play at.
And you come back into a team, they've won the last three. What's the vibe like?
Mate, it's been great. It's been really good. I turned up and we had a great New Year's celebration with the guys at Rushcutters Bay, which was nice. Everyone's relaxed and it's a great group. And to be able to share sort of a day with Hilton Cartwright, where he made his debut, and it just reminds you of how special it is.
Great to see you there, mate. Have a wonderful game. It's back to you, James.
Let's get back to Nearly Meadows down there with Brett Lee. You would have enjoyed that.
A wonderful atmosphere. Such a big crowd in already, and it's just goosebump stuff. You see the boys belting it out, but in particular, Hilton Cartwright, Brett. How's he feeling? His debut is happening in the anthem was just wonderful.
I'll tell you what, he should have got some goosebumps then, because I certainly did. Look, he'll be feeling nervous firstly, excited, relief, I guess, or, you know, a couple of words that spring to mind, but most importantly, just go and enjoy it. So he's going to try to create and get all those emotions and make sure he bags it up to go out there and give the best performance of his life that he possibly can.
A bit of a fun fact, and that is that four of these Aussie players were actually born overseas, Hilton Cartwright and Stephen O'Keefe, the two to come in today, are two of those. With the Ashes around the corner, geez, England are going to start taking the mickey out of us, not the other way around, aren't they?
Oh, I'll tell you what, absolutely. So four out of the 11, as you mentioned. But look, it's... I guess it's the way Australia's changing, isn't it? You know, we think about Usman Khawaja, you know, born in Pakistan, coming here now wearing the baggy green cap, which is fantastic. So Australia's such a multicultural, country. You know, we welcome that. And we just wish them all the very best for today's match.
It's awesome stuff. And JB, I can tell you the few clouds that were around are dissipating as we speak. So that is wonderful news. Great conditions here at the SCG.
Good girl, Nez. Thanks very much for that. With Brett Lee, of course, for California Sports Services. And as Kerry O'Keefe touched on at the top of the broadcast, the big story here today is the reincarnation of the great Imran Khan. Now, this is a man who in the 70s, not only in World Series cricket, but then as captain of Pakistan, took them to a World Cup, of course, in 92, but also played Sheffield Shield cricket here in the mid-80s for New South Wales. And as I understand it, Skull, and you'd know better than me, the amount of damage that man did on and off the ground has never been seen before or since.
Oh, without question. It's 30 years since he last played here, so he's off a restricted run, and he's not quite the batsman he was.
No.
Because looking at Imran Khan, the modern Imran Khan stats, Glenn McGrath is five times the batsman he was.
Really?
Or he is. He averages 1.5 in Test cricket, Imran Khan.
Yes.
So straight enough is normally good enough for I, Khan.
As we're looking at the ball, it's going to be used in this game. Kookaburra have done a great job with the McGrath Foundation, and that is going to be in the hands of the Pakistan fast bowlers, HG Nelson, and they're going to have to make some inroads early.
They certainly are, and the colour of the ball has always intrigued me. I believe this is a lost opportunity for Cricket Australia to do something special and create a colour unique to cricket in Australia that is then available for people to paint their houses with. Mm-hmm. So let's call it Siddle. for want of a better word. So what colour are you doing the gutters? I'm doing them in Siddle Extra. The house will be done in Siddle Off and so on. And so you can see how money comes into cricket at grassroots level in houses across Australia when dad or mum goes down to the hardware store, the Mitre 10 or whatever it is, and picks up enough Siddle in Dulux Extra Wear to paint the whole house. I mean, it's a lost opportunity. Cricket Australia need to look at themselves. They lose the Commonwealth Bank at the end of this series, I think, sponsoring the top level cricket. Somebody has to do the heavy lifting.
HG Nelson, that's the voice of, if you didn't know, and of course everyone does, the Australian opening batsman making their way out, the Pakistan team huddling at about backward square. I'm going to make way for Gus Warland, who's going to join us shortly. Scull, you're going to stay in. HG, so are you. Ishiguro, you'll hear from shortly.
No worries.
Yes, and welcome to the SCG. Gus Warland with you. Great to have HG in the seat. Nish is joining us as well, and of course Kerry O'Keefe. And this is the Sydney Test match. Great preview, boys. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed that. And Matty Renshaw under a little bit of pressure. He walks to the crease with Warner under no pressure, one of the elite batsmen in world cricket. But this young man, he's 20, and his fourth Test match in Kerry O'Keefe at the moment, with his high score of 71 and some good innings is in Adelaide with that swinging pink ball. We all gave him a lot of kudos, but now he needs to score some after that pretty ordinary shot in Brisbane.
Now, the jury's still out on Matthew Renshaw, still with much to do, and Darren Lehman and company are watching because Sean Marsh is imminent. He's a player that they'll want to take to India. So in a lot of respects, Matt Renshaw may just be playing for his immediate future. His partner at the other end isn't, of course, David Warner, so central to today's proceedings. Pakistan have lost the toss, but this is their best chance of creating real trouble. There's a little bit of green tinge in this pitch. It's going to go sideways. Mohammad Amir has had no luck in the series so far, nor has Wahab Riaz. Imran Khan is Courtney Walsh. He'll wobble it, particularly against the right-handers. This is their best opportunity. I know that it takes Yasir Shah out of the equation, but if they're going to do anything, they're going to do it on the first hour. They need three poles. Can they get them?
Okay, let's go to the Shoe Man, who's been with us for the first couple of test matches. Shoe Man, he's our stats man. What have you got for us, brother?
Yeah, just with Matty Renshaw, last two innings, scores of only 10 and 6, and just with Australia's record at the SCG, last 22 matches, they've won 17.
Welcome back to a sun-drenched SCG. We've got about 27,000 in today, and boy, have they got their money's worth. It's Isha Guha here taking you through the lunch break. Australia 126 for the loss of no wicket after it was Steve Smith who won the toss and elected to bat first. Matt Renshaw on 25. But it's been an entertaining innings from David Warner once again. The first player in Australia to score 100 before lunch. And that came off 78 deliveries, 17 fours in that knock. It has been truly sensational stuff. And they'll look to continue that after the break. Pakistan, well, the woes continue when it comes to their bowling. Four bowlers used, Amir, Imran Khan, who's come in for Sahail Khan. He's been the most expensive, going at over six and over. Wahab Riaz and Yasir Shah's bowled six overs and an economy of 4.16. But Australia in a very good position here at lunch. We've got the kids out in the middle playing a bit of quick cricket. We've also got Shane Watson here for his retirement. He's got his son Will here and his daughter Matilda. In the box with me is Brett Lee, and you played a lot of cricket with Shane Watson. What an entertainer he was.
Yeah, and what a great bloke too. So he thoroughly deserves to be in the back of the Toyota Hilux, getting driven around, getting clapped, you know, from what he's getting, you know, a very full part of the SCG here. He's had a terrific career, Alan Border medalist, and as I said, one of the greatest guys in the dressing room that you could ever play with.
Glorious place to play cricket here at the SCG. Now, it has evolved into more than just the final test of a series, but something so much more important than that. Every year, people gather in and turn the SCG pink, something which embodies the lasting legacy of Jane McGrath when she left the world on the 22nd of June 2008. And I'm delighted to welcome to the commentary box her best friend and now director and official ambassador to the McGrath Foundation, Tracy Bevan. The foundation was, in fact, started in 2005. We've got Neralee Meadows here as well to speak about the foundation and what it's brought to Australia. But just tell us a little bit more about it, Tracy.
Yes, so we launched on the 17th of September 2005 with a goal to raise funds for breast care nurses. Jane was diagnosed in 1997. had no access to a breast care nurse, didn't know what a breast care nurse was, where when she was re-diagnosed in 2003, she met what she called an angel, which was her nurse, and she turned to me and she said, I now know what we need to do. We need to make sure that every Australian family experiencing breast cancer has access to one of these angels, because at that time, she said, she didn't tell me or Glenn anything because she didn't want to worry us. She felt silly asking her oncologist and asking her GP the questions that were keeping her awake at night. Now she's been re-diagnosed. But she felt like with the breast care nurse, she could tell her everything, how she was feeling, and she would get all the informative information that she needed back. So, we launched and here we are today. We've got 117 McGrath breast care nurses. Wow. That's something we're announcing today. That's honestly, it takes my breath away. We've supported over 50,000 Australian families, which I know, even though I sit here at the SCG, that was my home, you know, Brett, my home for many years, sat in that lady stand freezing to death, pretending I loved the game, didn't really know what was going on.
Love it.
surely it had to be warmer than back home in England, up north.
Oh, listen, yeah, you're right. It always is. But, you know, you just come a bit accustomed to weather. We'd sit there with, you know, well, when we didn't have the wedding ring, you show a bit more, you know, like you're really interested. Once you've got it, you can sit back and have a chat.
That's right. Champagne.
Yeah, whatever. But to come back and see now that the whole SCG, you know, the help of Cricket Australia, the SCG Trust, New South Wales Cricket, seeing them support the McGrath Foundation the way they have, not only does it help us raise funds every year, but it also opens a conversation about breast cancer, and we are so grateful to that.
And Tracy, it must make you feel so proud. I mean, Jane's left her legacy on this beautiful, you know, Australian place, and what she's done here at the SCG, but you've been a big part of this as well. You've been the driving force behind this. How does it make you feel when you come back to the SCG, even on day one, and people are wearing pink?
Right, do you know, well, that just really, you know, I cry every time because I say this is my Christmas day, especially Jane McGrath Day. It's my Christmas day, and I walk in because I know that Jane would just be so proud. But what I also love, in a sick sort of way, is the fact that Jane gets a stand named after her and McGrath gets nothing. How is that? Do you know what I mean? All the years he's played at this ground, he's got nothing. Yeah. Yeah, I look back and I see the ladies' stand become the Jane McGrath stand, and it's just, I know she'd have a little chuckle about that, and I just love it.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Jane? Because obviously those who knew her at the time knew a fair bit about her, and cricket fans even saw her about and saw the cause. But it's been a while now, and there are plenty of cricket fans who are new to the game that don't know what Jane was like, and you were her best mate. So what made her so special?
Oh, she was very shy. So for Jane to share her story, and you'll hear Glenn say, you know, for us to share ourselves, that was really difficult. And you know her, Brett, you know her too. That was really difficult for her. But honestly, it sounds cliche, but she said, Tracy, if we can help just one family going through what I'm going through, then we've done our bit, you know. And the foundation, it was formed to help Australian families going through what Jane was going through. And we have 44 women every single day diagnosed with breast cancer today. So that's a lot of people. But, you know, selfishly, this was born on love and friendship. I promised to Jane before she passed that I would continue the legacy that we spoke about from day one. But for us as friends, and becoming wives and becoming mothers, our time, even though we're always together on tour or off tour, it was always about something else. So really selfishly, the McGrath Foundation, as Jane said to me, when we're out doing something for the foundation, we don't have to feel guilty or look at our clocks and be saying we should be doing something else or feeling that guilt. So for us, it was about coming together in friendship. Together we can make a difference is our tagline, because we wanted to help but spend time together. So, of course, I would love her here with me. And I have no doubt she's here, definitely on Jane McGrath Day. She's not going to miss that. Her kids are here too. But I feel enormously proud. And I also feel that I have to do this until there's no more breast cancer and we can close our doors, or they carry out the McGrath Foundation office in a pink box. I've requested that.
That's a good idea, actually. Why not?
Yeah,
pink wall, pink box.
Yeah, and I will do that because I made that promise to her before she passed.
And the logo now is on the cricket ball as well. And it's a brand new logo. Yeah. So tell us about that as well. But it's wonderful.
It's something that we've launched. We did some research. We didn't just go, oh, let's change the logo. I mean, obviously, we're very proud of our heritage. But
because it used to be the cricket stumps.
Yeah, that's right. And it still is. We still use that, anything to do with cricket. We have a campaign called pinkstumpsday.com.au, if anyone's interested. And it will still be there. You know, we're not losing any of our heritage. We're very proud of that. But we did some research, and people were recognising the stumps, not recognise it with McGrath Foundation, and we just thought, well, look, we are the McGrath Foundation, and we need people to understand what we do with their money. You know, give me a dollar, I can show you that it's where it's gone. I can tell you the nurse who's and the family that's helping. But we needed to make sure that we stood out. You know, that you know who we are. And people, it's your own interpretation of the emblem. People are saying it's a heart or it's an M. We're calling it a life force because we have this great animation online at mcgrathfoundation.com.au, and it tells you the story of what that emblem means. It's just, it's an emblem of hope. It's an emblem of, you know, life is to be lived. Mm. And that's what we're about. And it's also about people knowing, recognising the McGrath Foundation.
And you certainly are giving a lot of hope to a lot of Australians around the country here at the SCG. There's a lot of people dressed in pink, and I'm sure there'll be even more in a couple of days.
I hope you've got your pink dress ready.
The good thing is that, yeah, we always see girls and they dress up in their lovely frocks and they come in their beautiful pink dress. The guys are the ones that make the effort.
You're bringing this up because you started it. We all know it. Well, credit where credit's due.
The pink
suits.
He
wants a kudos. He did. Pink hair, pink shoes.
Pink hair, pink shoes. I think I still got pink in the hair. But look, in all seriousness, look, it's about awareness, but it's also, you know, they need money to put the breast care nurses. Yeah. Give a plug on how that you know, people can come, not even day three, but day one, day two, and going into the new year. How can people help?
Well, you're right, Brett. Currently, 117 breast care nurses. It costs the McGrath Foundation $12 million every single year to fund that program. So people keep saying to me, oh, it's great, you've got all these nurses, you don't need me. Yes, we do. We've also done research that there's still 83 positions in Australia that don't have access to this support every single day. So what we're asking people across Australia, whether you're at the ground or if you're not at the ground, you can still do your bit. You make a donation online at pinktest.com.au. And right now, you make a donation and you go into the draw to win 500,000 Qantas frequent flyer points.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, we like to give back at the McGrath Foundation. We understand times are tough, but every single dollar you can give to the McGrath Foundation is making a difference to families' lives who are going through breast cancer. And I hear it every single day, how hard it is and how tough it is. And I saw it from my best friend, Jane McGrath. But what's so beautiful is those who have access to a breast care nurse, it's just... I get goosebumps again, obviously. It's just so lovely to hear the difference our nurses are making to their lives, and that's what it's all about.
Tracy Bevan, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here and talking about your great mate, Jane, and obviously all the great work that's being done for the McGrath Foundation will continue to support you as this test goes on, that's for sure.
Thank you. I'm feeling really cool being on Triple M, let me just tell you.
We're rocking test cricket.
I'm just rocking it.
Tracy Bevan is certainly rocking test cricket.
Rocking test cricket.
You're listening to that, girls. Thanks very much.
Well done, Tracy.
Brilliant to have you here, Tracy. Isha Gua here with Brett Lee and Nerilee Meadows. It's 126 for the loss of no wickets for Australia, who elected to bat first here on the first day of this third test between Australia and Pakistan. David Warner bringing up his 100 before lunch, and will look to continue his good form afterwards. I can see Brett Lee down on ground. He's looking very pristine indeed, but I have to say, the mate that you're with is looking even smarter. Who have you got with you, Brett?
I got the great Shane Watson. I tell you what, he looks like he's off a catwalk from Paris. He always dresses very schmick. Firstly, David Warner, have you ever seen a person bat like that in the first session?
No, it's phenomenal, isn't it? To be able to see someone who's at the absolute height of his game, to be able to dominate like that. And on day one of a test match, normally you're just in there for a bit of survival, hopefully put a few bad balls away. But to be able to see the way he takes on a game on day one is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was great to watch. Now, mate, we just saw you do the lap of honour. Cricket Australia have got behind that to celebrate your fantastic career. Must have made you feel very, very special.
Yeah, it was. It's actually a lot more emotional I thought it was going to be. It's really special when Cricket Australia gave me the opportunity to be able to, say farewell. I never really got a chance to be able to do that retiring when I did. So it's special to be able to share that, especially with the Sydney people. The SCG is a very special place. I've had a lot of incredible memories here. So to be able to do it here is very special.
And what's it like coming back here now that you've seen this crowd? Do you miss not wearing the baggy green cap? Do you miss being out there?
Of course, at moments, I certainly do. Of course, it was my dream as a young kid to be able to play play Test cricket for Australia. But I certainly, you don't miss some other sides. The schedule, the ongoing schedule and that sort of thing, which takes you away from your family. The ups and downs of your ride with the Australian public as well is challenging. But now I'm fortunate to be able to play still the Sydney Thunder and the Big Bash, which is an amazing tournament, and play a few other 2020 tournaments around the world to keep me still fueling the thing that I love most is playing cricket.
And you mentioned your family. You got your beautiful son and daughter down here, Will and Matilda. You couldn't get Lee on the back of the Toyota Hilux as well?
They only have one seat, so I know, and especially with my setup, we're not really going to fit two people. it's very special to be able to have my wife, Lee, who's been an incredible support all the way through and continues to be. She's an amazing mum, and having my two beautiful kids here and my mum and dad as well. So it's incredibly special to be able to share it with them.
And you're back playing the Big Bash now. You're injury-free and, looking forward to hopefully getting a win on the board shortly.
Four losses hasn't been a great start. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to play the first couple of games due to a calf injury. So that was very frustrating. But hopefully we can turn things around and finish very strongly.
And just finally, Watto, on today's performance, they're none for 126, one on 100. I mean, how far can this guy go?
I know, it's absolutely phenomenal to be able to see how he continues just to get better. How he just seems to do it so easily in Test cricket, with the balls swinging around, nipping around a bit, but he just takes the game on, and it's incredible for all the fans to be able to watch, because that's what you want to watch, someone who's at the height of their game, taking on the game like he does and just dominating.
Well, there we go. Isha, Shane Watson, as we all know, is a superstar. One of the best guys ever to play cricket with, and a terrific guy, and it's great that he's been acknowledged, finally, for the hard work he's done for Australia.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Brett. That was great down there. We'll see you back in the box shortly. Watto, also brilliant to have you here on Triple M, and I'm sure we'll continue to watch you as the Big Bash continues. We've got Neroli Meadows up here in the commentary box now. Watto, which is such a great player for Australia, but he's obviously still continuing with the Thunder. And how do you see his future going after the Big Bash and going forward?
Oh, well, he's still firing for the Thunder, and it's great to see him. I tell you what, Australia is still looking for that all-rounder. They've brought in Hilton Cartwright. So I think what Shane Watson achieved at an international level is massively underrated. He was a star all-rounder and a genuine all-rounder, batted all throughout the order for Australia, even opened as well. So he's a genuine all-rounder and a wonderful batsman. But when Brett Lee says he's a great bloke, I think Shane Watson is one of the most misunderstood men in Australian cricket. So many punters out there had indifferent opinions about him, didn't know how to take him. I can tell you what, Shane Watson is one of the most genuine human beings you will ever meet, and just a great bloke to sit and have a beer with. He is such a nice, kind-hearted man, loves his kids, loves his wife, Lee, and he's just passionate, and he's got a massive heart. And I think he was so misunderstood through so many things, and obviously there was a bit of a different relationship and stories with him and Michael Clarke. So people out there need to know that he is one of the great guys of Aussie cricket.
Doesn't mind having a strum either.
No, that was one of the most special things that I've witnessed on the cricket tour back in 2012 in Hobart. We were all out after the test and had a couple of beers, and Watson got up and asked the bloke who was just strumming his guitar and having a sing in the corner whether or not he could do a set. And so Watto got up, had a sing, played the guitar. It was wonderful stuff. I felt so damn sorry for that young kid, though, when he went back on afterwards, because he's sitting there going, hang on, mate, you're expecting me to follow Shane Watson. So the two of them together, actually, Binger and Watto, pretty musically talented. I can't say the same for me. I'm not sure about you.
Definitely not me. I leave it to Rich. I have to ask Brad, though, Brad McNamara, who's our producer, whether he might actually get a slot in the Six and Out band.
Wow.
A bit of Watto in the Six and Out band.
Surely he's a headline performer in that.
Yeah. He's certainly good with the guitar. He's good on the field. And with the Thunder, it hasn't been going so well for them in the Big Bash. He's just come back into it after being injured. But what's the situation at the moment?
Well, as far as Big Bash goes, Dan Christian was the star last night. He picked up, we're talking about Davey Warner's effort today. Well, Dan Christian last night became the best bowling figures for the BBL for an Australian, second only to Lasith Malinga. So he took 5 for 14. It was the first time that he's bowled this Big Bash campaign, which is amazing. It was an 8-wicket win for the Hurricanes over the Strikers. Darcy Short, yet again, he only made his debut a couple of games ago, 60 off 39 balls, and Tim Payne, 41 off 42. Brad Hodge, though, the evergreen Brad Hodge. He's about 100 years old, but he made 55 off 45 and was on the mark as well, so he's multi-skilled as well. The Heat up against the Sixers tonight, which of course means that we get to see Chris Ling and Brendan McCullum in action again. Oh. Lynn's six the other day was obscene. It was offensive, it was that big. So he hit it completely out of the ground. So that'll be entertaining stuff as well, no doubt. So Big Bash, they've got plenty on offer at the moment.
And just quickly, in the rest of the world, what's happening at the moment? South Africa, Sri Lanka?
South Africa, it's the second test in Cape Town. Sri Lanka won the toss, chose to bowl. South Africa is 6 for 297. Dean Elgar made a ton, 129. At the moment, it's Quinton de Kock, 68 not out, and Kyle Abbott, 16 not out. That's in Cape Town.
Okay, thank you very much for the updates, Neroli.
Welcome back to the SCG, where Australia are 2 for 224 at tee. Matt Renshaw, 83. Steve Smith on 12. And this day was set up by the most incredible century from Dave Warner, 113 from 95 balls. A century inside the first session of a test match for the first time in Australian test cricket history. Only the fifth time it's been done anywhere in the world. So Warner set the SCG alight, and they've really followed on from there with complete dominance of this game. 2 for 224 is a wonderful place to be at tee, and the captain in brilliant form is out there just getting his day started, just having a look down on the ground. The ICC Hall of Fame, and Arthur Morris has been added to that, and so he should, by the great Steve Waugh. David Peaver, the chairman of Cricket Australia, out there as well. So that's a nice touch for one of Australia's greats. But Dave Warner, most runs in a session, joins some illustrious names. Bradman, one of them. Victor Trumper, another one. Majid Khan, the most recent. And that was obviously overseas. So Warner, the first time it's ever happened in a test match here in Australia. And like he so often does, completely destroyed the opposition's opening attack and set up what has been a very, very good first couple of sessions of this test match for Australia. The best thing that happened from a Steve Smith point of view is winning the toss early on, because it looks very, very flat. The conditions are fantastic for batting, and everything we've seen so far would back that up. Neroli Meadows and Brett Lee, I think, are down at ground level. Are they ready for us, Nez? What do you got down there?
Well, it's great news. There is a bit of cloud above, but I've spoken to the curator, Tom Parker. He's quietly confident, but is ready and on standby, but he's quietly confident that we won't get any rain this afternoon. And if we do, it'll be very, very minor. So that is good news indeed. Brett Lee, we've just seen Stephen O'Keefe out there checking out the wicket. What would have he been looking for at this point in the match?
I just think, having a look at the wicket, how it's deteriorating over the last couple of hours, if there's any cracks opening up, how the scuff marks are from where the bowlers land and their follow through. So looking at those few simple signs to see, will that assist him, I guess, come day two?
We've been pretty critical of the Pakistani captain at the moment, Misbah-ul Haq. What does he need to do, and what do the Pakistanis need to do to turn this game around?
I think there's two key elements here. One is to go in all-out attack, so try some short balls, set the appropriate fields. What they're doing at the moment, they're just going through the motions. They're just putting the ball on a good length or bowling, not, you know, short enough that it's going to get up and actually worry the batsman. So either try some short stuff or get back to good test match bowling. Bowl your line, bowl your length, get you in your areas where you're a chance of taking a wicket, but don't get the ball going over sort of waist height where you're not going to hit the stumps. The ball here at the SCG, it's got to be the length where you will bash into off stump.
She's going through the motions. That's probably about the worst thing you can say in an elite game of cricket, isn't it?
Yeah, you shouldn't be going through the motions period in test cricket. There is a lot of emotions out there, though, you know, because there's a decent crowd in. They're playing for a dead rubber, so they want to go out there and perform as well. But David Warner has set the game up today and probably set the whole, I guess, test up by going out and blazing the first nine overs, and has put Pakistan on the back foot straight away.
Now, we haven't seen Mohammad Amir bowl since the 25th over. He spent about half an hour off the ground, came back onto field, and has been limping a bit since he's been on. I've asked the Pakistan team for an update, but yet to receive one. But that is a big blow, the fact that they haven't been able to use him very much today.
Yeah, look, he'll be sorely missed, definitely. So we hope for Pakistan's sake, and I guess world cricket, to be back out in no time. We saw what can happen with, I guess, Pakistan bowlers. They can make a pretty quick recovery. So hopefully for that case, we can come back and actually see him play some further cricket today. But look, they need to go out and take a few wickets. The thing that they do have to understand in Test cricket is that if you can get a couple of wickets back-to-back, you can totally change your game. 2 for 224 at the moment. You can turn that into 4 or 5 for, you know, close to 300. Yes, it's still a lot of runs, but at least you're back in the game.
So, JB, we will bring you an update if we get one on Mohammad Amir. As I say, he's back out there fielding, but he hasn't bowled since the 25th over.
Thanks, Nez. Nearly Meadows, Brett Lee for Nearmap, Australia's leading provider of aerial imagery.
Wonderful knock from Matt Renshaw, and he's still going. He's on 122 off 226 deliveries, his maiden century that he got here at the SCG. It truly was a stunning knock, and the crowd were full of appreciation, and I believe Nerali Meadows is downstairs with his dad.
That's right. I've got Ian Renshaw with me. Ian, what a wonderful moment. Your son bringing up his first test on. You've only just started to regather yourself.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty emotional moment. Unbelievable, really. Wasn't expecting it. You're just hoping he's going to go okay. And got a 50, you're going, well, hope, you never know. And then just kept going. So,
what was it like at the moment? Were there tears?
Oh, yeah. Lots of tears, yeah. It's just difficult to understand, isn't it? You just don't think it's ever going to happen like that, and it's moved. It's just happened so quickly. Yeah, a year ago, he's only just making it. We were here a year ago when for his Shield first game down here. We came down, and that was the anniversary of Phil Hughes' day. And it's only just over a year, and we're here. It's incredible.
You've got tears back in your eyes now, just reliving the moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in bits. My wife was better. She was just happy and laughing. But no, it's pretty emotional. It's very good. Yeah.
We can hear the accent as well. Of course, he was born in England. Are you okay that he's doing this for the Aussies and not for the Poms?
Absolutely, yeah. But you can't have everything, can you? No, it's great. I mean, he's been away from it. He left England when he was 7, so he's 20, so he's more Aussie than he is English. Just happened to be born in England. He certainly behaves like one, doesn't he? So he's just daft, so that's good.
He is cheeky, that's for sure. Now, what was it like when he was on 20-odd and David Warner's already brought up the ton?
Oh, 19. He was on 19 when Warner went after the first 100. So but that's his game, and he's managed to stick through it. So really proud that he's managed to sort of play his own game with their own crowd booing him again a little bit. And just before Warner got to his 100, they wanted him off strike, which is understandable. An incredible innings from Dave Warner. I mean, he's just a special player, isn't he? So.
Hopefully the fans will stop booing him, that's for sure. A scary moment on 91. What were the emotions like there when he popped the bouncer?
Well, I saw that he got up, so it was just hope he'd get up, and then more worried about the next ball than anything else. And just was expecting either a bouncer or a Yorker, and he watched it really well. So really happy with that, and just got through those next few balls, which would all be with the danger, I reckon, after you've been hit. So... No, that was pretty good, and then we just wanted 9 singles or whatever, and it was pretty good to watch. I've seen him in his first grade 100. He was on 99 for 18 balls, so that was a doddle after that. So that was easy.
Okay, great to hear from you there, Ian. Nerali, thank you very much, we look forward to hearing more and seeing more of your son as his time with Australia continues.
So that is the end of day one, and a very successful one for the Aussies. 3 for 365. The story was Warner for the first time ever in Test cricket in Australia, scoring a century within the first session. But the story since then, Kerry O'Keefe and Ishigua, has been Matt Renshaw, 167 not out at stumps.
Oh, good toss to win, wasn't it? But Warner put them away in the first session, and Renshaw put them away in the second and third. What a fabulous knock by the 20-year-old. 167 not out at stumps. Hanskins with him on 40, the perfect 5. Both Smith and Khawaja missed out today, but the story belonged to the Australian batsman. Fantastic effort by them. Very good batting pitch, of course, here at the SCG. Steve Smith won a good toss. Pakistan, Wahab Riaz, their best, but they were short of it from the outset. They probably played the wrong side. They had to include 2 spinners. They were caught short with 3 quicks and part-timers, and Australia have cashed in.
Absolutely. Australia set the tone at the top of the innings, and it was Pakistan's inconsistencies that allowed David Warner to tuck in more than he usually does, and that was going at a strike rate of 130-40. He did play beautifully and was on the attack all the way through, really made the most of all those loose deliveries as well, and Renshaw just built his way into his innings and looked so confident towards the end of the day as well. And would have been good to have someone like a David Warner at the other end. I know he was under a bit of pressure, but someone like a David Warner, that's his new role now as well, is to be able to cultivate these youngsters and to try and get into their heads and support them as much as possible at the other end. And I think he did that today as well.
That is the beauty of playing with someone who bats like David Warner from Renshaw's point of view, Skull, is that the confusion and the rubbish that starts to be bowled when you don't know where the hell you're letting the ball go can benefit the bloke at the other end as well. So he'll enjoy if this opening partnership, and I agree with you, is going to blossom, then he'll enjoy batting with Warner. Don't worry about that.
Oh, definitely, because, I mean, he has got a solid game at the start, Matt Renshaw. He builds his innings slowly, whereas Warner just decided, I'm taking them on. And he was a passive observer there for most of that first 100 partnership. I think he got 19. But with Warner's demise, he then started to get more rhythm to his own innings. In the end, he owned the last session. He was just clinical. Anything off his hip was work for runs. Yep. He brought up the square cut, which I hadn't seen. Mm. And he started to go down the ground off the spinner. So he can't wait for tomorrow. He's 167, not, you know, 300 is not out of the question. This is a belter. There's no scarring.
Yep.
If we get blue skies tomorrow, he'll resume with a beaten attack and the ball starting to age. The sky could be the limit for M. Renshaw. Yep. And when he walked out this morning, I thought, he hasn't got the game for Test cricket. He's short of it. Oh, yeah. Just a little wrong.
Bob Simpson, initial Test century was a triple, I think, from memory. Chua, what do you got for us?
Just the wrap-up scorecard summary, JB. So Australia stumps 3 for 365 at 4.15 per over. Warner and Renshaw put on an opening stand of 151. Renshaw not out 167, along with Hanscom, who's not out 40. The batsmen out. Warner 113, Khawaja 13, Steve Smith 24. Recapping, Dave Warner, first player to score a century in the first session before lunch on day one in Australia, the fifth overall in Test cricket history. Moving along to Renshaw, JB, he's the youngest Australian to make a Test century since Philip Hughes back in 2009, and currently fourth highest Test score by an Australian opener at the Sydney Cricket Ground as we speak, 167 not out. Just looking at the bowling figures, Mohammad Amir, 16 overs, no wicket for 58. Imran Khan, 17 overs, no wicket for 81. Wahab Riaz, 19 overs, 2 for 63. Yasir Shah, 1 for 132 off 30 overs. And the part-timers, Azhar Ali, 4 overs, none for 16. Asad Shafiq, a couple of overs and none for 12. And the crowd, 30,305.
Thank you for that, Ash. Look at these poor Pakistanis. I mean, fair dinkum, Skull. They've fielded all day. They've been pounded to all parts, 365 for just 3 wickets. And now 7 or 8 of them are being made to stay out on the ground to warm down.
Yes.
You wouldn't tolerate that. Just get me off.
No.
I'll do it out the back of the rooms in my own time and space.
Isn't it funny how the game can turn? That last day in Brisbane, we were all there. They were going to mow down 490.
Yes.
And unless Mitchell Starc bowled the miracle ball, the match ball, against Asad Shafiq, they'd have gone 1-0 up.
Well,
then they walked into the last day of Melbourne thinking, we'll draw this.
Yep.
Suddenly, at the end of that day, they were 2-0 down in the series. They've lost the toss on the belter. They've picked the wrong team, and Australia's sailing towards 550. It's a cruel game, isn't it?
If we're going on trends, though, Kerry, Pakistan are making 600.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, they either fold or just or go prolific. Exactly. They could lead on the first innings, whatever Australia get. Who knows with this mercurial side?
It's a flat enough pitch for 600 to be made batting second. There's no doubt about that.
Yes. It's going to turn, mate, but I just think there's no signs of real scuffing. That might happen tomorrow afternoon. But Steve O'Keefe, Nathan Lyon will get bounced from it. That'll be the big plus. Whether they get enough side spin is to be determined by weather over the next couple of days.
How do you reckon, you know, like Doug Walters, would have gone if he was walking off the field, the other mob, 3 for 365, and a physio came out and said, just hang out on the field here for a second, Doug, while we warm down.
Yeah. Well, he'd have asked the 12th man to run a lunger on, do we? Yeah, I don't think it worked.
No.
He didn't want people to race to get one last over in before 6 o'clock because it cut into his cigarette
time.
That's
it. That's my time. From any time above 6 is players' time.
It was a quick warm down, though, in their favour. They're all off now. They're all running into the changing rooms, quick to get off.
We're waiting just for David Warner to become available. We think he's only a couple of minutes away. Nerolee Meadows down there with him, and we can't forget the explosion that he provided in the first 2 hours of this game. It's just, I don't care how much crap was bowled, and there was a fair bit, but to score 100 inside a session any time in a first-class game, let alone the first session of a test match, is it's just something to behold.
Oh, I did. And he had the crowd in the palm of his hand. The members love a superstar here, and David Warner is just that.
Yep.
But the moment he started accelerating, they realised 100 was on before lunch. They rode every ball. Yep. Sadly for Matthew Renshaw, it impacted on him because they didn't want him on strike. They wanted the local lad.
Yep.
However, his day wasn't finished there.
No.
But the fact that when he got that 100 and the emotion he showed, they shared it with him, the crowd was up, a standing O before lunch on the first day of a dead rubber. No. Get in there.
Completely nuts, and I think the champ's down there with Nerolee Meadows. You got him, Nez?
He certainly is. David Warner, a test ton before lunch. You've become the first player to do so on Australian soil. Talk us through that.
Yeah, I didn't actually know until I came off and the boys were laughing. Look, obviously it feels amazing, but I think the best thing about it is we're in a commanding position at the moment, and it's fantastic to see Renner's get his maiden 100, and hopefully he can come out tomorrow and put that maiden double 100 on the board.
I'll ask you about Renner's in a moment, but your celebration, it was worthy of the moment as well. It did mean a lot.
Yeah, it did. It meant a lot. As I just said before, it was a pretty lean 12 months for myself. I started off the season well and ended it well last year. And to come out here and have back-to-back 100s here at my home soil, it meant a lot.
Now, you mentioned Matt Renshaw. He was on 19 when you brought up that ton. You are certainly outscoring him there, but, geez, he's done well, hasn't he? Just 20 years of age, and he's brought up his maiden test ton.
Yeah, he has, and I also said to him when I was out there that that'll be the last time he outscore me. he mentioned that in the media, so I said he got a lot of catching up to do, but it was fantastic to see him knuckle in and, be not out and bat through the day is a fantastic thing. And now, as an opener and a traditionalist, the way he plays, it's fantastic.
And last one from me, just to get that nasty knock on 91, but to be able to compose himself as well, because there were scary moments for a second there.
Yeah, definitely, and that's one thing that has come into our sort of mandatory rules now, is that the players can be taken off the field, and I think he was well aware of where he was, and the right protocols were in place, and it was great that he was allowed to go on.
Boys.
Hey, ball, 100 starting to flow now, and we always have loved the way you play. Just go back to that. You talked about the lean run, but watching you bat, it didn't look like much different was happening. You always sort of stayed strong through that period?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you got to keep backing your instincts and the way that you play. And, I felt from ball one, I sort of was on, and, the adrenaline sort of takes over, especially here at your home soil when everyone's up and about, and they like the way that I play, and I try and entertain, and that's what it's about.
And Dave, many congratulations on that knock. The ecstasy you showed on getting it, can you talk us through who you were thinking of, your gestures to the dressing room, your look to the skies?
Yeah, thanks. Look, it's just, there's obviously a lot of emotions that go through every time we walk onto this field, and I know our mate's up there and watching, and every time we go out here, we know he's with us, and that's for him every time I walk out here to bat.
Well, mate, congratulations. We know you've been out there doing quite a few interviews. We don't want to hold you up any longer, but you provided us with some of the great entertainment today, and we're very lucky to see it.
Thanks, lads.
David Warner, a superstar of our game. And as I always say, Skull, I don't think we quite understand when you watch this bloke average 50 and score it better than a runner ball as an opening batsman. It's almost never been done before in the history of our game.
No, and I'm interested in that zen state of mind that he gets in, because he does get, once he gets going, he gets hundreds. And I reckon at 30 not out, he was in a state of mind, said, they've got nothing that's going to hurt me here. And he probably said, and I'm not going to get myself out either. So there's that mind where he was seeing the ball so early.
There were times where he was challenged, Mohammed Amir coming in and bowling some short stuff to him. And he did look uncomfortable. I've never seen him look as uncomfortable as that. But certainly, as soon as it got pitched up, once again, he was on the front foot and playing that through the cover. And and as dominant as ever. But what a way to start 2017. Yeah. He did the same last year. He ended it well, and a bit of a tricky period in Test cricket in between that. But he's looking good for India. Well,
and that's the thing with him. And I saw Zahir Khan, he got a century just as brilliantly in Perth against India one year. And Zahir Khan was swinging it round corners early. But when it's, and he played and misplayed, when it stopped swinging,
yep,
he just belted him for 100. And again today, he's, I reckon he's assessed, is it swinging? No, my day. The moment he sees it not swinging, it's all his way.
Cricket players are great storytellers, but so are cricket watchers, I reckon. And the 30,000 people here today will all, in 10, 15, 20 years' time, talk about the day they saw an Australian opening batsman score 100 before lunch. I mean, it's just unheard of.
Yeah, unbelievable.
If you come to the SCG, sometimes you get that theatre.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the anniversary of Steve Waugh's last ball. 100. That was second day, I think, of the game. Yep. This was first day, and they've seen a century before lunch. That's why Test cricket's the best form, because theatre happens from nowhere.
So important to have entertainers like David Warner playing Test cricket.
We need them.
Yep, absolutely.
If he announces I'm only going to play short form, I'll march on the dressing room with placards.
3 for 365, the stump score, as we let you go from the SCG. 10 o'clock, we're on air tomorrow. Make sure you join us as Triple M Rocks Test Cricket.
Triple M Rocks Test Cricket.